So for those who weren't in last week's session, I'll just give you just a quick sort of update of where we got to last week. So last week was really about an observation that I have made, and I've sort of been reflecting on for most of a year about the way that Elijah and Sarah and Joe and Sam lead us in music ministry. So there's something particular about the way that they lead us in music ministry, and that is that when they lead us, they use no music, right? So they all stand up there, and if you watch, they got no paper, they got no chords, no notes, no anything in front of them, and they are just fantastic. They're amazing. I mean, all of our musos are extraordinary, and they all bring unique gifts, but there's something funny about the way that they work with no music in front of them. And I guess what occurred to me is that when they play, they have to really be sensitive and listen to one another in a different way, that actually it's not just performing, it's actually a conversation that they engage in with one another, with their different instruments, as they work out how to praise and give glory to God together and call us into that as well. And what occurred to me is that there's a real metaphor. Maybe there's something we could learn from them, from that experience. Because after all, isn't that exactly what we're all called to be? One community, all different people bringing unique gifts and talents, somehow called into like a conversation, a way of living with one another that gives glory and honor to God. And that also speaks to the wider community, draws others into that conversation as well, just as they draw us into that by the way that they are. And it also occurred to me that for most of them, you know, our community has been alive for 40 years. We celebrated the 40th anniversary this year. But for many of us, when we first started out, you know, the early sort of pioneers, I think of the Reginiani Firth or the Radajacks or the Borgs or those sorts of people, they came into community and but not having experienced this way of life growing up. You know, we read the New Testament scriptures and we try to think, how is God calling us to be? Like, what can we learn about the early Christian communities and that way of living? However, these guys, they were born into this, right? They grew up, they were conceived in this community, and they've known nothing else except for growing up. You know, from the time they were in their diapers, they were learning how to share, how to communicate, how to solve problems, how to forgive one another. And I watch the way that they are, and I can't help but think maybe there's a kind of a knowledge that they have that is innate, that we could learn something from their experience. And so I guess one of the ways that I look at that is through the eyes of the kind of research that I do at Notre Dame, right? So the research that I do is qualitative research, and it's trying to understand deeply people's experience, trying to really work out what can I learn from that, what can I discover about that, and what does that connect, how does that connect with what we know? And so when I sort of raised this with Mario sort of said, great, well, why don't we just interview them? And so that's what we did last week. So we had them all on the couch and we had some time just to really sit. And what I really wanted to do was really enter deeply into their experience, deeply into their knowledge of playing together. So I wanted to bracket actually everything that I know about living in Christian community, about how we're called to be a Christian community, just put all of that aside for a little while and just engage deeply with them about their experience, about what that's like for them, about how they come together, about what they bring with them, each other, about their relationships with one another, about what they've learned or discovered from their own experience. And then over the course of the week, I did something different. So we all sat and we listened to that, and I asked you to sort of maybe reflect yourself on what sort of you picked up as well. So I'm just going to skip to the next slide. Because what I did is I also recorded, so Kyron recorded it on camera so we got to watch it. So I really encourage you to go back and watch that interview if you weren't here last week. But I also recorded it on my phone so that I could listen to it a few times over the week. And what I did as I listened to it is I transcribed all the key points. So everything that they said that I kind of thought, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's, you know, that's a good, I just transcribed all of those things, their own very own words. And then what I did is I cut all of those quotes, all those bits up into individual pieces of paper, as you can see on there. And for each quote, I tried to attach to it a theme. I kind of thought, what's the key thing that they're saying here? What's the main point? What are they trying to get across in that little quote, in that snippet? And then I arranged all the themes and I kind of thought, what are the common themes? What are the common patterns that show up here? So I actually rearranged everything that they said in order of what I thought were the main essence, the main elements of what it is that they were communicating. And then I went back and sort of tried to check, okay, is this theme actually true, or am I just making this up now? Like, I kind of got to go back to the original interview and kind of check, you know, I don't know, actually that's true to what they were actually saying and what they were expressing. And so what I'd like to do is have a look at some of those themes, the way I explored them, the way they came out for me. But then what I did is I kind of went back to the scripture. I thought, okay, so this is the key themes. This is what I hear them saying about how they work together, about how they are together. Does this actually resonate? Is this actually true? Is this actually captured in our understanding of what early Christian community life was like? Like, you know, when we read the readings of the letters, you know, is what they're sharing actually there? Is it in the scripture? And how does their experience enrich our understanding about that? I mean, if I had more time, I'd love to look at church teaching and the saints and kind of work all of that out. But this is as far as I got. So this is where I got. And of course, then what happened is it raised questions for me about how does this speak to me, right? What is this actually saying to me as a person about maybe how I'm being called in my relationship with each of you? And so what I've got also after each sort of little section is a few questions, maybe for us to just very briefly reflect on and maybe share whatever stands out for you in our little small group this afternoon. So we'll make a start, and I guess there were the three main categories of sort of responses that I kind of captured. One main category was about themselves, about who they were and what they discovered about themselves, about how they needed to sort of cultivate characteristics about themselves in order to be able to play together. Then there's a second category, which was about the way that they are together. So their relationships with one another. And then there was a sort of a third category about their relationship to God and praising and what happens for them in their praise and worship in their relationship to God and what that sort of demands and what that takes. And when I sort of looked at those three sort of broad categories together, really they fit really nicely to me. And just this overarching sort of statement of each of us unique but called together praising and trusting God. That to me seemed to be like the sort of the meta theme that kind of linked all of that together for me as I listened to them. So maybe we'll start with the unique contribution, so their own uniqueness. And I've got each of their quotes there. So do you want to just jump to the next slide, Josh? And I'll get you to just scroll through as we go through each of these quotes. So sorry, Sarah, there's your words up there. I tried to be as true to what you said. I took out some of the ums and ahs and ers and those sorts of things, so it was, you know, more condensed. But under the unique contribution of themselves, there were sort of a few sub themes. So one was about passion and about practice, that actually what they bring requires a level of passion and it's taken practice. It was about the uniqueness of their contributions, but there was also this strong themes around patience and humility and making mistakes and openness to making mistakes. So Sarah said, in relation to singing, I discovered a talent. I realized the more I do it, the better I get. It's a passion. It's a joy. Joseph said, I discovered a talent, strive to improve and get better at it. Was a passion, a joy, a constant strive to better yourself, to keep on improving, to try and outdo yourself. And Sam said, a lot of guys do a lot better at guitar and singing than me, Laz and Joe. It took lots of practice. Do you want to just jump to the next one, Josh? Sam goes on to say, knowing that other people are good and being okay with it. There's a lot of other guys who play guitar and sing much better than I do. It took lots of practice. And I can think that I can't do what they do. But we need to know that what we do is different to what they do. And God works powerfully through what we do as well. At the end of the day, it's about how God chooses to work through us, not our ability or someone else's ability. And he goes on to say, I spend a lot of time listening to praise and worship. It's something I've always really loved. I learned from watching other people. To be honest, you guys, and he indicates Joseph and Sarah, are the talented ones. Joseph says, we've learnt together patience and humility with each other. It's a spirit of humility that's the glue that holds us together. Sarah says, being patient with each other. It took a while to get used to each other. It's not about you. It's about us. And then some of you may remember this quote from Joseph that was towards the end of the interview. He says, one thing that I've learned from being a musician, when you make a mistake, it's easy to blow it out of proportion. It's so easy to become obsessed with your own failure, to focus on your mistakes. One thing I've learned is that you can't give up when you make a mistake. You have to keep on going and push past it. We all make mistakes. It may seem like a big deal in the moment, but know that it's not a big deal and that we can move past this. We can get through a lot of things. So So when I sort of really reflected on this and these ideas of sort of patience and practice, of bringing our own uniqueness and doing it with patience and humility and working through mistakes, and I sort of reflected on what does Scripture tell me about this? You know, what do I learn from Scripture around this? Well, I guess practicing talents is kind of a given. I mean, Jesus speaks to it about himself, about developing our talents. But in Ephesians, we also hear the words. One of the things I found was really interesting, particularly with humility and patience, is that when I actually started looking for quotes, pretty much every single letter of St. Paul includes an exhortation to patience and humility. Every letter. At some point, he says, you know what, you guys are going to have to be really patient and really humble with one another in order for this to work. So some examples are in Ephesians, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. In Romans, he says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Even St. Peter's letter, he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And in Colossians, Paul says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And, of course, in Corinthians, we have St. Paul talking about love is patient and love is kind, and love is gentle. So I thought maybe we might just stop there before we go on to the next theme. And I've put some questions there for you and your small group to reflect on. So I don't want you to go through all of these questions because it's a lot of questions. However, what I'd like you to do is read the questions and for you personally, think about two things. One is, which question do you feel you could immediately respond to and kind of go, oh, I've got an answer to that. And which question do you feel most challenged by? And then share one response with your small group. Okay, so you might share on the one that you feel most challenged by, or you might share on the one that you're going to go, oh, actually, I've got something to share about that. So just pick one question and respond to that with your small group. So the first question is, where do I observe humility and or patience in others within our community? In what areas of community life do I sometimes struggle to have humility and or patience? What happens when I feel like I've made a mistake? How can I work on self-compassion so that I don't allow my mistakes to stop me from embracing God's call in my life or for our community? So I'll just give you a couple of minutes just to pick a question and share on that with the people in your small group. Okay, so let's keep going. So the next category of sort of responses, sort of overarching area, was about their relationships with one another and about how they relate to one another and how they play with one another. And I actually found this quite interesting when I was reflecting on it, because one of the things that really stood out for me is when I started interviewing them, when I think about them playing, is how different they are. But actually, the sort of the feedback that I got from the interview was how similar they are, right? You know, in a sense, I felt that what they were saying to me is like, actually, we think we're pretty similar in a lot of ways. So that was a little bit unusual for me. But I guess some of the key themes there were differences, call us to grow and to develop, about supporting no matter what, about being alert to others' needs, about having shared interests and goals, a vision, and recognizing it's not about us. And so the quotes that came out of their interview around that were, Sarah said, we're all very different. Being different brings out more room for growth and development, discovering what we have in common. The praise and worship songs we all like. When we play a song we've been longing to play for a really long time, it energizes us. Also, when we play a song that we haven't played for a long time, that we all really like, it's not about you, it's about our journey. Joseph says, playing with people who are very different from me in the best way possible is an amazing experience, because you have to bring a vulnerability to the table like in any relationship. The only way that I'm going to get better is if I learn to take risks. I grow closer to them by being open, by being willing to take this journey with them, not by myself. I know now that no matter what I do, they will support me. We have a lot of similarities as well. I know that I couldn't do this without them. I don't go looking for how they're different from me. I go in appreciating how good they are at what they do and how I couldn't do it without them. And then Joseph says, it requires an alertness. We have to be ready to respond to each other's needs as the situation arises. We can't do that if we spend the whole time focusing on ourselves. And he goes on to say, we're different, but we're united with the same vision, by the same goal. We're not trying to outdo each other. We all understand that we're in this together. No matter our different styles, backgrounds, experiences, when it comes to playing music, we work with each other. We don't work against each other. Sometimes that's easier said than done. And when I sort of reflected on that, there was one other theme that came out of that category, but we'll look at that on its own in a minute because to me it was quite interesting. But when I looked at the scripture around that, about supporting one another, about what happens when we work together and about how it sort of brings out something in us and about the journey, I guess the scriptures that sort of stood out for me were, first, some from the gospel. And Jesus says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And then also this one, a few verses later, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. But there is a lot in the New Testament around our relationships and bringing out the best in one another. Obviously, in the Old Testament, we have that famous quote from Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. But in the New Testament, we have in the letter of Hebrews, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And a bit further into Hebrews, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. In Thessalonians, Paul says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up. In Romans, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another by yourself above yourselves. And then later in Romans, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. In Ephesians, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in Philippians, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then I love this beautiful quote in Galatians, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So I guess just some questions that sort of stood out for me for us to reflect on. And again, I just encourage you to read through them and maybe have a think. What really speaks to you, or is there a question that you feel particularly challenged by? Just pick one, and then in your small group, maybe just share your response to that question. So the questions are, who is someone very different from me in community? What do I appreciate about them? When have I experienced being supported in community? How do I feel I'm being called to provide more support to the community or to a particular person? How can I be more attuned to the needs of others? How am I being called to be more vulnerable? How is God calling me to grow closer to others in community by being more open? And how would I express what we have in common? How would I express the common vision that calls us together? So I'll give you 5 minutes to have a quick conversation. Okay, so let's move along a little bit. So within the category, I know, and I've got so much to get through, but hold on to it. If it was burning, you can come back to it. So in the category of being called together, there was another theme that was actually quite strong that came through all of what they were sharing, and it was really around. I first sort of picked it up in what in the interview, in what Sam was sharing. But actually, when I went through the interview, I realized actually all of them spoke about this in some way. And I just gave it the theme, the title, Difficult Starts. And Difficult Starts was about the difficulty of the start of things. And so Joseph, he said, it's definitely hard at the beginning when we only had two teams in the north. So he's talking about the beginning of them playing together when we first came north. Sarah said, it took a while to all get used to each other. We were all willing to get through that, realizing we had to make this work and it's not about us. Sam said, I always struggle in the first two songs. It's hard to connect. I worry, will anyone like this? Are we going to get this right? The first two songs are really tough. And Sarah said, it's not easy to get into it at the beginning. It's really in the third song that you get sent in some way and you know it's good for you. So all of them really sort of talked about this idea of the challenge of the beginning of things. And for that, that was kind of unexpected to me. I didn't really sort of like think about that. But then I kind of went, all right, so where do I find in Scripture you know, is there evidence for this? Like, should we, you know, is that a typical thing of life? Is that the starts we should sort of expect that they're going to be difficult, or is this sort of an odd thing to their experience? And when I looked into it, I guess I came across these ideas. And so in Job, we have this quote, though your beginning was insignificant, yet your end will increase greatly. And in Ecclesiastes, it says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. And as I sort of looked into a bit further, you know, in terms of our Judeo-Christian sort of heritage, actually in Jewish culture, there's a rabbinic maxim, which is that all beginnings are difficult, is the wisdom of the rabbis. And there's a Jewish text called the Mishnah, which is really it's an exegetical text, and it tells, I guess, the Jewish people about how they're supposed to celebrate important occasions and the spirit with which the way that they're sort of supposed to celebrate it. And in the Mishnah, it makes this interesting statement about the celebration of the Passover, so one of the key Jewish celebrations. And it says that the Seder, to organize the Seder with an awareness of the difficulty of beginnings. One begins with disgrace and concludes with glory. You know, and as I was thinking about it, I kind of thought, you know, isn't that so true, really? You know, whether it's the beginning of Adam and Eve trying to work out how to live according to God's law and God's plan, or whether it's the beginning of the Jews sort of discovering what liberation from Pharaoh actually is meant to be like and how they're called to live their lives, or whether it's a baby born into a manger because there's no room in any of the inns in Bethlehem, all beginnings are sort of difficult. They're challenging. That actually maybe we should just expect that that's always going to be the case, whether it's the beginning of our celebration here at Gather on a Sunday, whether it's the start of a new Life in the Spirit seminar and we wonder who's going to come, is anyone going to turn up, you know, or whether it's a new initiative, or whether it's sort of thinking about, you know, is the flying fox going to get up on the tree before Dads and Lads weekend, or however it might be, you know, that beginnings come with sort of challenges, you know, that that we sort of overcome. So the questions I have for you to reflect on are, where do I encounter difficult starts in community life? Does it help in some way to know that this is normal, that I'm not the only one? What do I discover when I push past my own initial resistance and really commit to what I'm doing? Okay, so let's get on to the last category, which was really around praising and trusting God. And so there were the sub-themes that sort of came out of that that sort of stood out for me were being called together, that they were sort of called together, being transformed through praise, that actually when they engage in praise, it does something to them. It's different. Taking risks and being vulnerable, being open to being changed by God. So just having a look at the quotes, Joseph said, I don't think it's an accident that we are playing together. And he also said, we went down south for Mother's Day. The hospitality and welcome made us feel like we were a part of something greater. Sarah said, praise is different from singing normally. It's more raw and authentic. The words have so much meaning behind it. I don't have to think about much else. It's meant to be just me actually praising. Praise and worship brings more joy than just singing. Joseph said, you bring all these struggles and complaints to the table, all of these stop mattering once you start playing, because you realize how much you need God in your life, how much you need him, and many of these things are insignificant in the long run. Once you start playing, all you want to do is thank God for all that he's done in your life. Sarah says, praise is not about being comfortable. Praise is not about same old, same old. We're not meant to be couch potatoes. We have to get out there and do something that we're not used to doing. But we know that we have the potential, and only through God can we accomplish. It's not about us. It's not our capabilities. It's God's capability working through us. It's not about you. It's about your journey. Sam said, when we play pretty high. We like to push our range, and hopefully your range, pretty high. If you're doing praise and worship and you have to sing outside your range, you actually have to let go. You can't be holding on to your pride. You can't hold on to your indignity. You have to let go. I might be going to sound bad, but it's okay. You're either going to commit or you don't do it. If it's safe, I don't think I'm going to be giving enough of myself. The higher that you go, the more that you have to put into it. and God really honors that. When I look at my life, I've been able to see the exact same thing. When I really push outside my comfort zone, God really honors that. I have to really commit to what I'm doing. He goes on to say, one day when I was really, really sick and thought that I couldn't do this, and I couldn't, I had no voice, but somehow God decided to work powerfully through us that day. And then he says, after the first two songs, I realize, if I'm not praising myself, how am I going to lead anyone else? We have to make lots of runs. We change it up as we go, depending on what's happening in the moment. When I'm in praise and worship, I try not to think about anything. I just try to embrace the moment, what I'm doing. I just ask, Lord, take it. So when I started sort of looking about praise in Scripture, and I started to look at also being vulnerable and sort of risk-taking and what's its place in our faith, I guess this is what I discovered there. In the Old Testament says, this is Deuteronomy, I will proclaim the name of the Lord, O praise the greatness of our God. If you go to Psalms, oh gosh, you just look up praise and Psalms and it'll take you a whole day just to get to how often the word praise appears in the book of Psalms. So that's all about praise. But in Proverbs, it has this interesting phrase. It says, the crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but people are tested by their praise. It says of the apostles in Luke, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. In Romans, St. Paul says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And the first letter of St. Peter says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. When it comes to risks, I guess, and risk-taking, I was really sort of thinking about that. You know, are we called to take risks? I mean, sort of, you know, we talk about being risky and things being risky is sort of a bad thing. But I guess what really stood out for me was, first of all, I guess the parable of the talents, you know, and it's the person who doesn't take any risks. It's a person who buries their talent, you know, and just waits for the master to come back that gets punished, you know, that Jesus sort of, you know what, I want you to take some risks. I want you to use the gifts that I've given you here. And also what stood out for me is that experience of Jesus calling Peter to step out onto the water, to take a risk in faith, you know, step out. Jesus says, can any one of you worry? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? In the Old Testament, we have in Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you forever. And in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In Philippians, St. Paul tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. and in Corinthians, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And in Corinthians 1, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. But I guess last of all, that's that hope for me in Philippians. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So the questions then to reflect on for this last section are, describe what it's like when I feel moved to praise God in a way that is raw and authentic. What happens inside of you? When do you feel close to God? How is God calling you to go outside of your comfort zone for his glory? How am I being called to let go? What's a past experience in which you've trusted God and he came through for you? Am I open to being flexible with God? Do I hold rigidly to my plans, or do I allow God to guide me in the moment? As that question came for me reflecting on their experience of lots of runs, as they start to give praise and worship, they kind of realize, oh, we're going to change things up. The Holy Spirit's calling us to a new place. So just take a moment, pick a question that really stands out for you, and I'll just give you a few minutes before we finish to share that with the people in your group. Okay, so let's just just finish up with just a couple of final thoughts. I just thought it'd be good for us to maybe finish in prayer, but as I was looking through the scripture and trying to link them to the different themes, I did come across a couple of interesting quotes, and I've just maybe slightly edited Jesus' words, but only a smidgen, and I think you'd be okay with it. But they really stood out for me because they really sort of spoke to me, and I thought, this is what's happening. And it says, twice in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to our young adults.'" And then further he says, "Do you hear what these young adults are saying?" They asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of young adults and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?'" Just when I heard them, I just thought, how fitting for these young people who lead us in praise. So let's maybe finish with a prayer, because really, I think the Holy Spirit is really trying to lead us as a community around this as well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for calling us into a community with one another. We thank you for giving us so many gifts and talents. Lord, help us to realize that it's not about our ability, but how you wish to work through us and our uniqueness. Lord, give us a heart of passion and desire to strive to do better and to give you more glory through the gifts and talents you've entrusted to us. Lord, inspire in us a spirit of patience and humility, knowing that we're going to make mistakes, Lord. Give us a spirit of forgiveness and a spirit of perseverance. Lord, help us to recognize the many differences in gifts and talents in our community. Allow them to be an opportunity for growth for us, Lord, calling us on. Help us to be a support for one another. Help us to be alert to one another's needs, Lord. Help us to recognize that you've given us a shared vision and a shared goal to make disciples of all nations. Help us to recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you and your glory and your work. Lord, help us to know that it's always going to be difficult at the beginning, that starts are tricky, but that you're with us, that your hand will guide us and that your Holy Spirit is there as our advocate to support us and encourage us. Lord, help us to always recognize that you have called us together, that it's your Holy Spirit at work, that you're calling us to somehow be transformed through our praise of you, to recognize that this is our purpose in life, Lord Jesus, to give you glory by the lives that we live with one another. Lord, help us to take risks. Help us to be vulnerable with one another and most especially with you, Lord. Help us to recognize that your plan is at work and that your hand is with us. And just as we heard in today's prophetic word, Lord, give us a spirit of surrender. Lord, we just ask you to be with our young adults in community. Watch over them. Flood them with your grace, Lord. Help them to be a great witnesses of your love for our world today. Give us, Lord Jesus, as a community, an openness of heart, an openness of spirit to learn and grow from them as well, that we might be called into the way of being as a community that you long for us through a spirit of dialogue and conversation and communication with one another. Lord, lastly, I ask you to especially pour out your grace upon Sam and Joseph and Elijah and Sarah. Lord, we thank you for their ministry. We thank you for the way that they give praise to you, Lord Jesus, and how it calls us onwards as well. We ask that you would anoint their ministries and their work, Lord Jesus, especially at this time of year, time of uncertainty, thinking about the year ahead, and that wherever they go in 2020, that you would be with them, that your hand would be guiding them close by, that they would know that your presence is nearby. And Lord, we just ask you to be with each of us. Shape us and guide us into the people you long us to be, that we might give you glory in all that we do. Amen. And one last thing that really stood out for me was in the transcript, they also mentioned us. They spoke specifically about Jen Gethin. They spoke specifically about Mike Ratcliffe and Steve Proud and I guess about us supporting them as well, that it's actually not just them, it's us together with them in a conversation that gives praise to God. So I'll maybe put the questions up on the Facebook chat, and if you want to think about them or reflect on them, then go for that. Amen.